We'd like to return to the Gospel of John in chapter 14. We'll start reading in verse 8 just for some context. We've already really want to start with verse 15. We'll see how far we make it this evening. But this is a consecutive portion of Jesus' conversation, so we want to make sure that we want to begin at the beginning of that conversation. So John 14, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And Jesus Christ here introduces us to this specific presentation of the Holy Spirit here as the Comforter, another Comforter. And with that in mind, I want to get this wording over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, or truly our comfort, also aboundeth by Christ. So there in verse 3, God is introduced as the God of all comfort.
Amen.
The God of all comfort. And Jesus Christ has exhibited that during his ministry. He certainly provided comfort to the disciples during their time together, but obviously their heart is becoming troubled because he's told them that he's going away. And he's provided this stability and this peace and this comfort in the immediate physical fellowship and presence that he has had with these men during their walk of discipleship. And obviously, probably one aspect of why their heart was a little troubled was that if you go away, then this daily comfort that we receive is going to go away. But he's saying that I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And the word Comforter is a helper. The Greek there is paraclete, another paraclete that is the same in essence as me. He says in verse 17, the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. And also, it's important to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is a separate person of the Godhead, but is still fully God, just as Jesus Christ is fully God, and just as God the Father is fully God. Okay? Therefore, you know him, he dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit already dwells inside these men that he's speaking to, and shall be in you. Now, He already dwelt inside of them. They were born again men. But also, there was a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit that would come in their life and comes in the life of the children of God as we walk closely with the Lord, abide in Him, and walk in the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, he just said he's going away, right? But how is he going to come to you? I will not leave you comfortless. I'm sending you another comforter that is the same of essence, the same of character as me. And when I send him, he says, I will come to you. Well, how will you just said you're going away. How are you going to come to us? He's going to come to the disciples and to us through the comforter of the Holy Spirit because he's one with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? So I will not leave you comfortless. I will send the Holy Spirit that just as much as this is true of God the Father and God the Son, that God the Father is the God of all comfort, God the Son is the God of all comfort, the Holy Spirit is the God of all comfort as well. And he says, don't be afraid that there will be a void in your life. I will send you comfort. I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus Christ will come to them through the person of the Holy Ghost. That would be abundantly manifest, abundantly baptized upon them not many days hence. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, and because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's a beautiful unity to meditate on and think about. Now, here in this portion of Scripture, he is continually referencing the Comforter and how God sends the Holy Spirit as a comforter to his people. But then, all throughout here, there are these admonitions, like we find in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know, I hope that we view the Word of God, the commandments of God, really as a source of comfort and protection for God's people. You know, God knows what's best for you. Your Father knows what's best for you. And just simply obeying the commandments of the Word of God is going to give you so much more comfort and peace than if you rebel against that.
Amen.
In a spiritual sense, no doubt. But also just in a very practical sense. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that drinking any type of alcohol to a degree of excess of drunkenness is a sin and that's inappropriate. Now, if you just simply obey that commandment, compare someone who follows the scriptural pattern to abstain from the excess abuse of an overindulgence of alcohol to someone and all of the perils that go along with someone who lives the life of an alcoholic.
Amen.
Liver problems, DUIs on their record that are going to prevent them from having good employment. They are going to be continually late to their obligations and their jobs because of this struggle. You know, is that a good way for anybody to live? Ignore, you know, it's not a good way for a child of God to live, no doubt about it. But are those circumstances that go along with that sin of overindulgence of alcohol, would you characterize that life as a life of peace and comfort or a life of a lot of cascading problems? Right? Well, God knows that, right? So what does God tell you? You know, he doesn't have to explain all the problems. Now, the scripture tells us about some things. And life experience allows us to see some things. But he doesn't have to, just as the parent, the father, is telling the child, don't do this. It is not the obligation. I am learning very well. Zach doesn't fully understand yet. But he's a little bit older. I'm not going to give him a 30-minute dissertation on why I said no.
Amen.
You know, the answer is no. The answer is still no. And I don't have to explain to you why the answer is no. I know it's in your best interest to not do this. And I don't have to explain it to you. Well, God's word protects us by simply obeying the command of the Lord. It protects us from all of these perils that are out in the world.
Amen.
To where we can live a much better life of comfort and peace than all of the problems that are associated with the broad way that leads to destruction. Right? And you can just give all these other examples. I mean, God says that there is inappropriate for any sexual relationship outside of one man and one woman for one lifetime within the confines of marriage.
Right.
Look at all of the catastrophes that happen.
Amen.
By everyone that disobeys that. Right? And I know life experience, whether it be sexual relationships before marriage, adultery within marriage, and then all the abominations of other type of relationships, of sodomy and all this other craziness in this world that we're in. Well, God simply says, this is not appropriate. Don't do this. And how comfort and peaceful and joyful really are the lives of people who choose to rebel against God's word, that are engaging in all this type of multiple variations of illicit sexual activity. Do you think they have a lot of comfort in their life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you, in the Proverbs, where it's talking about the strange woman, it says, can you scoop fire into your lap and expect not to be burned?
Right.
Well, what happens whenever somebody, through that activity, is scooping fire in their lap? Have y'all not seen them just get burned up?
Amen.
I have.
That's right.
They just get burned up. Now, is that a better way to live than just simply enjoying the blessings that God has given us in obedience to His word in this arena? You're going to have so much more comfort by simply obeying God when He says, don't do this, obeying Him by not doing it.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, in the midst of this discussion that He's saying, I'm going to send you a comforter. Well, the Holy Spirit also, He gives us commandments, but He convicts, He guides, He directs us to obedience to those commandments. For what purpose? So that we could live a life of comfort, right? Do you understand that? That is one very significant aspect of this application of the Holy Spirit as the comforter in your life. You know, it's not always, oh, I'm sad and I'm crying and the Holy Spirit comes to give me comfort. Now, praise God for those type of moments. But also another way in which the Holy Spirit gives you comfort is through conviction. The Holy Spirit gives you comfort by conviction when you are straying from the commandments of God's word to protect you from the cliff that you might be getting close to going off of. And there's not much comfort down at the bottom of a cliff for anybody, is there? I think we all understand that. So God, one of the avenues of the manifestation of Him as the God of all comfort is through conviction. Conviction to guide us in obedience to God's word. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, that person is publicly manifesting that they love the Lord. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. That's certainly what we desire, is we want a greater abundance of manifestation of the comfort of God in our life. Now, He's the God of all comfort, even if you choose to, you know, the prodigal son chose to live down in the pig pen for a little bit. Well, you know what? thinking of the father of that prodigal as the God the Father for a moment, or the Holy Spirit. You know, the God of all comfort was in the Father's house the whole time. You know, he had comfort available to him.
Amen.
But that comfort was not manifested to him as powerfully and abundantly. Why? Because he was disobedient to the commandments of the Father. Amen. Right? So if you obey my commandments and you live in the Father's house, he will manifest myself. God will manifest himself more abundantly to you, especially in the ministration of the comfort that we stand in need of on a daily basis. And we saw that in verse 15 as well. And again in verse 21, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Again, in the middle of this discussion about the Holy Spirit as the comforter, we have many admonitions to obedience to the commandments of God, thereby exhibiting our love of God. And furthermore, you really just can't say that, not that we don't all stumble and fall, that we do, but, you know, to say that I love the Lord, but I am continually rebelling against all of your commandments. Well, you may profess that you love the Lord, but your actions don't show any love at all. Okay? So, one of the ways in which we love, we manifest our love to God, through manifest our love to Jesus, through obedience to his commandments. And you know what? Now, he's always our God. He never, in a eternal sense, will never leave us or forsake us. But if you're obedient to his commandments to draw nigh unto him, what's he promised to do? He'll draw nigh to you, right? So he will manifest himself more abundantly, more tenderly, more closely to you when you live in obedience to his commandments. And yes, we're commanded to be obedient, but always view God's commandments is that in his wisdom and his knowledge and his perfection, he is always protecting you from something that will be detrimental to you. Always. Okay? He's putting up the fence for a reason. He's putting up the fence of his word and his commandments for a reason. Because there are perils. There are dangers. There is destruction on the other side of that fence. And the only thing we need to say is, God put the fence right there. I know he's protecting me from it. Therefore, I'm going to simply be obedient. And you will live a life of comfort instead of a life of destruction.
Amen.
By all of these sins that we see in the world around us. Judas saith unto him, verse 22, not Iscariot. You know, Judas was a very well-known name. You know, very well popular name in this. You know, I kind of feel bad for this guy because now he has to go around and introduce himself. Hi, I'm Judas, but not Iscariot. And even Scripture says that. Judas, but not Iscariot. How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Again, he's going back to this. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, is this saying that if a man loves me and if he keeps my commandments, we will come unto him? Is that when you're going to be born again? So you're obedient, you perform good works, then that's when Jesus comes to reside inside of you to be born again? Well, no, Scripture doesn't support that. But now this is kind of skipping ahead here to the beginning of chapter 15, where he's talking about the vine and abiding in the vine. But we'll go ahead and get that language because I think it ties in pretty well. John 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, ye, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So what he's saying is, if you abide in me, you will have a stronger manifestation of the abundance of the Holy Spirit of comfort in your life than if you voluntarily choose to remove yourself from the fellowship and communion of the God of all comfort, right? I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Like, if you choose to walk in fellowship with the God of all comfort, you're going to feel a lot of comfort. If you choose to rebel against the God of all comfort, you're probably going to get a lot of chastisement, a lot of a sorrow of spirit. So if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father love him. And this coming unto him is not the new birth. It's the abundant manifestation and fellowship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We will make our abode with him. We're going to abide with Jesus on a daily basis, walking hand in hand with Jesus on a daily basis. And when you walk hand in hand with Jesus, you're going to feel a lot of comfort that day. If you choose to not walk hand in hand with Jesus that day, you're going to have a lot more problems, a lot more struggles, a lot more conviction and difficulty. Verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which hath sent me. The general disposition of the children of God who exhibit a love of God is obedience to the commandments of God. Right? Now, this is not a 100% and zero statement, obviously. You know, all of us disobey the commandments of God, but the general disposition for a child of God that loves the Lord, the way they exhibit that love is by obedience to the commandments of God. And, you know, it's certainly possible for, as we said before, someone to profess a love of Jesus, but to disobey the commandments, but you are certainly not making your calling and election sure in a public way. You're certainly not living in such a way where others can have as much confidence in that you love the Lord. And you may be written on the Lamb's Book of Life, but based on my assessment of your actions, it sure doesn't seem like that you love the Lord when you continue to live a life of habitual sin in dishonoring your Lord. Okay? Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So he clarifies that for us. This Paraclete that will come alongside, this Helper that will aid and strengthen and comfort us, is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, they may have felt like not only is there going to be an absence and a void of comfort now that Jesus is going away, but there's going to be absence and a void of teaching. I mean, we heard his teaching for 3.5 years, and we haven't figured, obviously, as is evidenced by their actions and their statement, we have not got this thing figured out. most of the time, even at this time, he's still making statements that they don't get at all.
Right.
And obviously they understood that they had not learned everything they needed to learn. But now you're going away. So how are we going to be taught the way we need to? Well, you're not, just like how you're not going to have a void of deficiency of lacking in comfort, you're also not going to have a void of lacking of deficiency in teaching. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is one with Jesus, right? And the Holy Spirit moves in the midst of his kingdom and moves in the midst of his church to teach his children, even in the same way that Jesus Christ taught these people in a physical sense with his physical voice. I mean, think about all the ways that the Lord sends the Holy Spirit to comfort and minister to us. We think about public worship in a setting such as this, and the preaching of God's word. We pray for the preaching to be in demonstration of the Spirit and power, right? So how is preaching applied to your heart? Through the blessing of the Holy Spirit. But also, we are taught through the Holy Spirit when brothers pray. I mean, sometimes I've heard prayers that was their 3-minute prayer was as good as some 50-minute sermons I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Okay, so that prayer through the Holy Spirit is teaching and ministering. Well, then also, we also need to pray. I think maybe we're deficient on this sometimes. I know I am. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit, i.e. pray for the presence of Jesus Christ in the midst of our song service. Now, God has given us the song service not just to hear a good melody, not just to get the pitch perfectly right. The purpose of this is to teach and admonish one another.
Amen.
Now, God gave us singing in such a way because we just simply remember things better through singing than we do in other forms. And God has given us psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in such a way so that we can learn the Word of God in a very, it's an enjoyable way. But the reason why we sing is not to make good melodies. It's so that we would be further taught the Word of God in the song service. Okay? So just like how we pray for the Spirit in the preaching, we need to be praying for the Spirit in the prayers. We need to be praying for the Spirit in the singing. We pray for Jesus Christ in the singing because Jesus promised that in the midst of the church, I will come and sing with you. And boy, it's great when you feel and you feel Jesus Christ singing with us in the midst of the song service. Okay? But then also, the Holy Spirit comes to teach His Word in the midst of our private devotions. You need to be reading the Bible every single day. And if you approach that and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? Open my eyes that I may see. Whatever you have for me today, the Holy Spirit will come and teach you in those studies. The Holy Spirit will teach you in your private prayers. Boy, there are a lot of lessons I've learned with just me and the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
When it was just me and Him, and there wasn't any noise to cloud exactly what I needed to hear. So there is a divine, and then also in fellowship. You know, our fellowship, I'm thankful that we have people with like-minded interest in a natural sense. But really, the real reason that we have fellowship one with another is not that we have common interest in politics or hobbies or sports. Our common union, our communion, our common union is Jesus Christ. So that should be a very prominent topic of our conversation. And that's something we really need to be reflective of. I mean, if 90% of our conversation is all about things we would talk about with people at the water cooler. I don't even know if they have water coolers in office spaces now. But back in my day, if you're having the same conversations with church people that you have in general small talk with people at work, then we're missing the point of fellowship, because that aspect of fellowship is another area, an avenue in which the Holy Spirit can teach us further the Word of God, okay? So look at all these diversity of ways that the Holy Spirit teaches the Word of God, and these disciples should not be afraid that we're going to have a deficiency and be void of this teaching ministry of God just because Jesus is going to heaven. No, the Holy Spirit is perfectly capable, not just capable, but fully equipped to teach in the same way that Jesus Christ taught in a physical sense when He was here on the earth. Okay? Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And this ties it back to verse 1 of chapter 14, where He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before, it come to pass that when it does come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Arise, let us go hence. So there in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. What peace did He leave for them?
Oh,
Jesus Christ. I mean, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, that is the fruit of peace is the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And we don't need to be concerned that there is a void of peace, because the Prince of Peace went to heaven. No, we got just as much peace right now, even during the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In this kingdom that he's given us. Jesus Christ came up and the Holy Spirit came down. Okay? And we're not void of comfort, we're not void of teaching, and we are not void of peace.
Amen.
Because God has been gracious to give us the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus, which is God the Father.
Amen.
You see, there's not a deficiency of peace. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled. And what do we need in a world that makes our heart very troubled? We need comfort. We need peace. We need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? And God's promised us that. He's promised us that, and certainly He'll never leave us and forsake us. But also, there's a very real and tangible sense in which you can lay hold to have a greater abundance of fellowship and communion and abiding with that Holy Comforter simply through obedience to the commandments of God. I mean, think about this. We talked about all these egregious sins out there in the world. God told His children to not forsake the assembling of themselves together. Is there more comfort in the house of God on a Sunday in fellowship with the saints,
yes,
or more comfort by you not being in the house of God? Right? Be obedient, right? Come, present yourself as a living sacrifice, and you will feel the rushing and baptism of the hope. You will feel fountains of living water welling up inside of you, and you just will not feel that comfort as powerfully and intimately and closely if we choose to rebel against the commandments of God and forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So one of the primary ways in which this Holy Spirit, this Holy Comforter, is manifest to us is simply by obedience to the commandments of God. And thereby, we show our love to God, and He will abundantly manifest Himself more intimately and closely. When we abide in Him, He will abide more abundantly in us as well.
Amen.